What is up, everybody? It is DWC, episode 17, week 17 of the NFL. One more week of the regular season after this week, and it'll be straight into the playoffs. So some teams are already getting checked out, the Browns, and some teams, you know, making it to the playoffs. We'll talk about them in the coming weeks. The Steelers, man, you know how we do. Special Christmas episode with everything that worked out. We're doing this shit straight on Christmas, dropping this shit right after we're done, straight on Christmas. Listen to us and then go ahead and start watching this week's games. So we, you know, we got some good ones this week, so should be fun watch. A lot of playoff implications, a lot of playoff enders in some of these games, so it's going to be definitely something fun to talk about for next week. Make sure you guys listen to us on YouTube and Apple and on Spotify podcasts under Defense Wins Championships, and this will be posted on Twitter and IG. Twitter is at DWC2022, and the Instagram is Defense Wins Championships Podcast. So we're going to go ahead and get into the headlines. Our first headline is the Texans are going to be having an uphill battle. Tank Dell got seriously injured. I think he literally tore everything. Bad when you're looking at the injury like report and you just see big letters, right? You see the ACL, MCL, PCL. You're like, fuck.
Yeah, that was disgusting.
I mean, I don't know what Tank Dell's great-great-grandfather did in his past life for his great-great-grandson to be cursed like this, but this brother has been going through it in 2024. He's gone through basically everything fucking imaginable, bro. And this, like, this injury, they're saying, like, he might not even be able to play in 2025.
I don't think he will be able to. It's too late in the season. I mean, he came on, what was it? He tore his ACL, like, week 4 or 5 last year. Or maybe it was a little bit farther into the season, but I swear he like didn't even ramp up until like week 4 or 5 this year.
Yeah.
Because I mean, when you have an ACL injury, it takes like a year recovery.
Yeah.
And whatever happened to his knee, dislocation, PCL, MCL, ACL, all of it's torn. I mean, this could be, hopefully not, but this could be like career ending. You know what I mean? And this is back-to-back years. I think he fractured his leg last year.
Yeah,
or was it a fracture or an ACL? I think
it was a ACL.
Okay. Either way, he had a season-ending injury last year.
No, it was a fracture. I think it was like a fractured tibia, maybe.
Yeah.
Season-ending.
And then now another season-ending. And this is even worse timing because it was 3 weeks left in the season. And by the time next year rolls around, you probably won't see him.
Yeah.
If at all, because I mean, even if he comes back, it'll probably just be for the playoffs or like late if they make it past the first or second round. So, I mean, just devastating for the Texans. I don't even know. Like, they got Nico Collins. They just signed Deontay Johnson. I mean, they're going to struggle. And they've already had their issues. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of injuries on the offensive side. Their O-line has been injured and just not good. So, I mean, I don't know where they really go from here because, like, no matter how good D'Amico Ryans is, like, what can he really do now against the teams like the Chiefs or the Bills? The Bills are one of the healthiest teams in football.
Yeah.
Like, if the Texans see the Bills, I mean, what are we even going to do? Oh, they also lost the Texans also lost two defenders.
Yeah.
In that same game that Tank Dell got hurt, so – yeah, they're reeling right now, and it's not looking good for them at all. It reminds me of the Browns last year, where when we got in the playoffs, it was like we don't really have any of our best players.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult for them because they're kind of just like everybody else in that division is kind of ass. So they're kind of just like solidified in that in the you know, the teams above them where they could like maybe get a break and play like the 6 or 7 team, like those teams are already further ahead of them. So they're kind of just locked in at that 4 spot. And you're either going to be playing the Ravens or the Steelers. Both you know, teams that are aggressive as hell and are going to beat you the hell up. So you're going to have to, like, have seasoned vets whenever you play these teams. And they've just been cooked on both sides of the ball. I know when we watched the Tank Dell shit, you know, not I, obviously his teammate was not trying to injure him, but I was like, what the fuck? Like, what route was that brother running? And yeah. why did he dive? Did he fall and trip, or like, why the fuck did he fall into his teammate's knees? I don't know where this brother was running. I don't know if he thought the ball was supposed to go to him, but like, what route combo was he cooking up? And I think like the Texans now, people have started to stop the run game. Cause I know like Joe Mixon was like going on a fucking tear, and now Bobby Sloak's pulling his like best Matt Canada impression. They do run, pass, run on the first two downs. And then it's a fucking third and long pass. And their offense hasn't been what it used to be back in the day. And like you said, now that you got is like Nico Collins. I don't know if like Dalton Schultz, Deontay Johnson.
Mechie. Schultz has been pretty much a non-factor all year.
So, and he's a serviceable tight end. He just might not be getting the right play calls from Slowick. I mean, literally last year they were talking about this man being like in head coaching like competitions, and he's kind of just worked himself out of that in a season.
I think who is it? I think like obviously Stroud is good enough to win games in the playoffs no matter who's around him. But at the same time, from what we've seen the last 5 or 6 weeks, it's like he's playing sped up and he feels like he needs to do a lot. You know, I just don't see it for them in the playoffs right now, especially like if they're in the NFC. I say that now, but I mean, the NFC is the Vikings, Lions, Green Bay.
They're fucked at that four spot either way.
Yeah, because they're going to see the Ravens or the Steelers. Two really good defenses. The Ravens defense has come alive the last like 6 weeks. Yeah. I don't know what's going on, but they were horrible to start the year. But yeah, they might be one of, if like, that's the problem though, because they are the four seed, they're going to see a 10-12 win team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because they're in the worst division in the AFC.
Yeah.
Now they needed to win like two more games, really.
Yeah.
But now they're just stuck in hell. If the Steelers win today, they win the The Steelers
win out.
Yeah, you guys have to win out. And I mean, honestly, if I'm the Texans, I'd rather play the Steelers, no offense to you guys, than the Ravens. But like, you're splitting hairs at that point. You know what I mean? So either way, good luck. You're getting one of the AFC North 12-win teams who are physical and have good defenses. So, yeah, I just think the injuries are just too much to overcome in the AFC, especially because Stroud to beat Lamar or to beat Russell Wilson or to beat Pat Mahomes or Josh Allen or Justin Herbert, like, he's going to have to be fucking Superman. You know what I mean? And we just haven't seen that consistently with Stroud yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's in what I said, you know, a couple weeks ago on terms of being a quarterback, and especially being a young quarterback, trying to navigate with a bad offensive line. It's a lot easier if your tackles are bad because you can kind of maneuver around that. But if your guards are bad, if your inside's bad, it's really hard to maneuver around that, because if you step left, step right, you might be stepping into a defensive player. It's hard to maneuver out of the pocket, as opposed to if somebody was coming on the edge and you can just, you know, bail out of there. So, and we've seen it with CJ Stroud. Like, it's different than like Joe Burrow, you know, I'm not glazing, but it's different with like Joe Burrow when his line is bad, or like, who else does this? Justin Herbert does this, just so I'm not, you know, glazing. Justin Herbert does this. Justin Herbert does this a lot, actually, which is crazy. But those quarterbacks will tend to stay in the pocket. They will take that shot if it means that they can get the ball and it's like a 10-plus yard gain. C.J. Stroud bails out of the pocket so fucking fast that there's like – and then he starts playing, you know, erratic, like you said, when he's just like standing looking around.
Yeah. He's just sped up.
Yeah, he's way sped up. And like you said, like – I think that regardless, you're fucked, whether you're playing the Ravens or the Steelers. Because, like, if the Ravens – the thing with the Ravens is, like, if you – you have to play perfect at C.J. Stroud because you know if you give that ball up, they're getting – you know, they're scoring. Lamar is scoring. I mean, we saw it last year. They beat the dog shit out of them. But, like, the Steelers, like, it's going to be a close game, but C.J. is going to get beat the fuck up. Because not only you get T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, you got Cam Hayward in that middle. One of the best, I mean, you know, one of the best inside D linemen for eons now.
Yeah.
So not only are you going to get fucking 6'5 Cam Hayward's big ass trying to grab you, if you try to bail out too fast, we got edge rushers that can catch up with you. We got edge rushers that will run you the fuck down. So.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe. I find it hard to believe the Texans will be able to run on either one of those teams because the Ravens are always top 10 in rush defense. And the Steelers with Cam Hayward, I mean, good fucking luck in a playoff game.
Yeah. It's going to be they're trying. It's unfortunate. You know, this is what happens when you if you like whiff on linemen. It is rough, man. It is rough. And if you can't just have like a cohesive unit. It seems like that offensive line just doesn't like trust each other. They might just be that ass, right? But they just like it just doesn't seem like a cohesive unit. Yeah, it just doesn't seem bad. It seems just so messy.
I mean, that's what happens though when players get injured, they have to throw new people in. I mean, O-line is already hard, but when your whole O-line isn't communicating well, that's when your QB starts getting smoked. And then when your QB starts getting smoked and they can't step in the pocket or step up in the pocket, then they're going to not trust you and they're just going to bail.
Yeah.
And then your offense has zero rhythm.
And that's how that brother throws interceptions. And you like I said, even with like, obviously Lamar's, you know, we're talking about in the MVP race, but like Russell has, you know, eons of playoff experience. You give him the ball in the playoffs when, you know, it's getting close. It's just going to be rough. Where Steelers are going to have virtually everybody back, ready to go. Texans, you know, it's just looking like that 4-seed team that we just know is just going to be light work.
Yeah, I feel like the 4-seed is always the AFC South.
Yeah.
And then same with like the NFC, it's always the NFC South. Those two divisions.
Yeah, after Brady left.
Yeah, once Brady left, that's how it's been. Yeah, I don't see where the Texans go from here. Like they need to. And you know what's like I can't even like blame the GM or like or D'Amico in terms of like what they did in free agency because everyone said they had the best free agency. They went out, they spent a bunch of money, and injuries have just riddled them all year. But still, something's missing, right? Because even with injuries like that, like teams overcome that. Great teams overcome that. There's just something missing about the Texans, and I just don't know what it is. Like nothing ever clicked with them all year. And whether you want to blame that on injuries or not, I get it. But I've seen numerous NFL teams have that many injuries to good players and they still like can get to 10, 11, 12 wins. You know what I mean? Especially with a QB like Stroud, like you would think they'd still be able to like compete with the best teams at any point in time with Stroud as QB, but they just have not been able to do it.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be, you know, even coming in the next year, he'll be a top 10 QB. I mean, motherfuckers had him in top 5 conversations. Crazy. But you know, you're not a bum and you not that obviously, me and Reed didn't believe that, right? We shut that shit down quick, not top five. But it, you know, your play, that's how good he was playing. That people were, you know, they don't just put anybody in like the top five conversations, even if it was delusional. Like, you don't see me walking around saying, like, oh my God, fucking Derek Carr's top five. I'd just be an idiot. Like, his play was warranting top 10 talks. So I don't know what it is. I don't, like you said, I don't know if it's just like everybody just wasn't on the same page this year. It just seems like everybody regressed, you know, coaching included. And this is going to be rough for them because they're playing two. They're going to play either the Steelers or the Ravens in the playoffs, two super. And you can't, like, it's like locked, right? Like, you can't escape it. You're playing one or the other. And they're both well-coached teams. So,
yeah, they're just – I mean, this could very well – this matchup today with the Ravens and Texans could be the first round for them. I just looked at their schedule, too, and the only team with a winning record they beat was the Bills in week four. And they've beaten – listen to these wins, though. They beat the Colts twice, mm-hmm. which the Colts are just like – I don't even – they're just up and down.
Yeah,
they beat the Bears – they beat the Jaguars twice. They beat the Cowboys. And they beat the Patriots. And the Dolphins.
They play Tennessee next week or something?
They lost to Tennessee the first time they played them, and they played Tennessee the last game of the year.
Okay. I mean, that should say in of itself, they lost to Tennessee. That was Will Levis Tennessee, too.
32-27. That game was a shootout.
Yeah, they're Levis, man. Come on.
You know, sometimes I'm like, I don't know if it necessarily matters. I want it to matter in my own head, but like, what division you come from, I feel like matters in the NFL. You know what I mean? Because teams that come out of the NFC South and the AFC South, like, barring Brady, like, Brady was an anomaly that went to the NFC South. Like, those teams have no shot in the playoffs. Like, I don't care what anyone says. Like, last year, even after the Texans whooped the Browns' ass, like, I wasn't sitting there on the podcast the next week going, like, oh, whoa, they have a chance against the Ravens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't see it. Like, they play such a weak schedule, all losing teams. I'm just like, what? And then when they play, like, the Texans' biggest thing to me is, like, when they play good O-lines and good D-lines, oh, my God, it's like night and day. And the Texans are going to get an AFC North team where every D-line is good. Literally every single one. And the Bengals are okay, but Hendrickson is like a 20-sack guy whenever the fuck he wants to be. So, like, I don't know. I think they're a first-round exit just waiting to happen at this point. I think morale is also just down. We'll see today.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if they don't put up a fight against the Ravens – like, I mean, we're talking easy first round exit, even as a home playoff team.
Yeah, and it's like, for like you said, if morale has to be down, seeing, you know, Tank Dell go out like that, but if they can't bounce back, like, unlike the Steelers, like, you gotta be ass for us to like run up to score on you. The Ravens have no problem running up the score.
No.
I mean, Lamar Jackson will play until the fucking – it's zeros, and that brother will have six touchdowns.
They'll try to score 40.
Yeah, they'll try to score 40. It's no love loss over there. And, yeah, it's just – I just don't know what it is. Like you said, though, with the teams that they play in the division, like, it's hard to have those, like – to have that, like, grit. You know, like, you're playing the fucking Titans, the Jags, the fucking Colts. Like, it's hard. It's hard to just be like, yeah, we ran the AFC South. I'm gonna be like, bro, like, 12 of those teams are in the top 12. You know, three of those teams are in the top 12 for the draft. Like,
yeah, it's not really a flex. Like, I hate to say it because, like, obviously, if my team ever won the division, I'd be flexing it, no matter what division I'm in. But, like, it really isn't a flex right now to win the AFC South or the NFC South. Like, It's just not. It's like a 9-10 win division. You can probably win it with 9. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Well, the Texans already won it with 9. They can lose the last 2 games and they still have the 4 seed. So it's just real nasty.
And they're like, you know, no disrespect to the fans, but like, there's a difference between home field advantage for the Texans and home field advantage for like the Bills. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, it's loud and I get to play in a dome. I'm straight, brother.
Yeah. I'm straight. Any good QB is like, oh, bet we get to play in a dome.
Yeah.
And they're like one of the only, I mean, them, the Colts, one of the only dome teams in the AFC. Like, and that's just it, though. Like, when you win only 9 games and win your division, even if the Texans win that first round because they're at home, which the NFL is big on home games, then you have to go play outside against one of the best teams in the AFC. And we saw what happened last year. They scored 7 points.
Let's see.
They scored 7 points and was fucking no offensive touchdowns. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know, man.
It's over.
It's over. That's all we can say.
It's over.
Next year.
It's rough when you have those, like those it's overs, because it's over and you're drafting 20. Like, you got it. It's over and you got to get in your bag.
Yep.
And this isn't like a crazy draft. Like, and they need linemen, and those linemen are going to be gone.
Yeah. It's good.
Better luck in 2 years, brothers. It's over. It's over. Next headline, we're going to go ahead and talk about Ben John. Can I rope this next headline into what I was saying? Because usually I do those, but I was like, no, because this was all bad. And Ben Johnson's like, this shit looking fire. Intrigued by the Bears job.
You know, the first, honestly, team I thought of with Ben Johnson was the Bears, probably. Mm-hmm. I just think they have so much talent on the team. Like, their defense is very good when they're not on the field the whole game.
Yeah.
Which no defense is. They have some superstars on that defense. And you also have the skill positions to be decent. You have your franchise QB. We'll say franchise for now, because sometimes even when you draft a guy that high and then a new coach comes in, the new coach is like, this isn't my QB. You know what I mean? We saw with the Cardinals. But Ben Johnson will give Caleb a year or two maybe, and then he'll draft his own guy. Because I think Ben Johnson's going to get a very secure, like, unless shit goes way off the rails, like they go 0-17 2 years in a row, I don't think Ben Johnson is getting fired in 2 years. You know what I mean? Wherever he goes. He seems like a stability guy. That's why he stayed at the Lions. He was like, fuck this. No job I'm interested in right now. But yeah. I don't really have, like, what are some more enticing jobs right now for Ben Johnson? I mean, you got to think, on average, like, 7 to 8 teams open up every single year.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the Jets, no. He's not going to the Jets.
No.
The Panthers, Canales seems to be doing all right as of right now, and he's going to have his first cycle in the draft.
I think he earned another year.
100%. Yeah, for sure. Raiders, if they fire Pierce, maybe because of the location.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, I think the Bears are like probably the premier spot. You get to be in Chicago. You have a franchise QB. You have the weapons. You have the defensive players. And you have cap space. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a better place for them.
It'll be, like you said, a great place and a great story. Because you're in division, you get to play Dan Campbell. It's Ben Johnson. It's the same thing Shanahan and Sean McVay. It's basically the same thing. I'm with you though. If I'm Ben Johnson, only the Raiders and the Bears, because I think Raiders you can basically get whatever. I mean, their owner's a fucking moron. So if you seem smart, I think he like glazes you. The Bengals would be cool if their owner wasn't dog shit. I would go to the Bengals in a fucking heartbeat. And if I can re-sign T, like, that is just a dream.
I think Taylor is, I think he's secure in his job.
Hey, I'm with that. I'm with that. I'm 100% with that.
I mean, teams that can realistically be see being open to it is like the Giants. Because who knows? Like, no one has really said, no one's really talking about Dable at all.
Yeah.
And every time I see him on TV, he's lost another 15 pounds.
Yeah.
I don't know where the fuck he's going to be at. But I mean, how long are you going to give him? I know
they got my goat on Ozempic.
Yeah. But it's been what, 3 years now? 4 years?
Yeah. But like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, trust me, like, I love Dable, right? That's my dog. Love that bald headed fuck. But like, how many more years, right? If you're a Giants fan, right? How many more years are we going to play this cat and mouse game? Like, oh, it's not his quarterback. Oh, it's not his quarterback. Oh, it's not his quarterback. So, like, are they going to get a quarterback? Are they going to get Cam Ward? And then say they get Cam Ward. How long is Dable's lease there? Like, are we just going to fire him after his rookie year anyways? Or, like,
yeah.
What is – and who's to say Cam Ward is what Brian Dable wants? I don't know what quarterback Brian Dable wants. I don't know what his archetype is.
He wanted Drake May bad.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, boy, man, the videos, man. But he could tell. It's just like I, because I think he's a genius, right? But he can like you. There's just some of those like, and he cooked because Drake May is looking like, you know, the best quarterback in the draft. Like you said, and I clowned you.
Well, besides Jaden Daniels, but
brother, it's an argument. Hey, my hands are up. If you told me Drake May's the best in the class, I have no qualms.
I mean, Drake May definitely has way less weapons and a worse team around him. But Jaden Daniels, like, undeniably, I think.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels is a dog. I mean, he had that skid, and he came back. I mean, he's playing so good that Cliff might get another fucking shot at a head coaching job.
I mean, he cemented himself as the rookie of the year last week with the comeback.
Yeah, win. With the comeback win.
And the last second touchdown. Like, it was just, like, picture perfect.
Yeah.
This is your offensive rookie of the year. No doubt.
Drake, brother, when I seen that, man, throw that ball.
I mean, ball placement-wise, Drake May's got
and he wiped Vic. He's like number one, I think, in, like, scrambling yards. Like,
I'm torn. I'm torn on the whole Drake May situation because I don't think Mayo is the right coach.
Brother, we looking at Boutte differently because of Drake May.
I just think Gerard Mayo is like a waste of Drake May's first few years in the league.
Yeah,
like I would have liked to see May. Yeah, I know. They're the most important. And I would have liked to see May with like Dable. I think Dable's good enough QB coach that it would have. I mean, he would have benched Daniel Jones in week two and been like, Drake May, you're in. I seriously don't think Dable likes.
I don't think he likes anybody quarterbacking over there.
Well, that's true.
I mean, think about it. Like, you, like, their owner's bad too. Think about it, though. Like, you want to, you know, whatever. Like, damn, like, I'm ass. You know, my team's ass. And you're getting calls up from the big boss. Hey, let's put Tommy DeVito in to, you know, to put seats in, you know, butts in the seats. I'm be like, bro, this dude sucks dick, bro. Why? What are we doing? We're like, at some point, you have to have shame. Like, that's embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, I remember us when they made that announcement. We were like, did Drew Lock do something to Dable? Like, why isn't he playing? But now, seeing. I think Drew Lock took the year off. Like, watching him on the field, I was like, no wonder he wasn't fucking playing over Tommy DeVito. That's I was like, holy fuck.
And so we see Dable, like, every time we look at the fucking TV, this brother is bright red. Dude, this cannot be good for his health.
No. Like, well, that's probably why he had to lose weight.
If he gets fired, bro, like, if I'm the Patriots, I'm calling him immediately.
To come be
OC, because like I don't think he'll get another head coaching job until, you know, he proves himself again. But man, like this brother had bad luck. He's gotten the short stick. I mean, we all knew like this, and this is what I go back to. Like brother, if you just give me and Reed 1 mil each, some nice real estate, I promise you we can run this shit better. Because there's no way you looked at these years of Daniel Jones and go, hey, damned if you do, damned if you don't, 40 mil. Like, I promise you nobody's at the line knocking down the door to get Daniel Jones on their team.
It's my favorite pressure question in, like, all of the NFL. Like, when your QB is almost up, but he's been okay to above average, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, do you spend the money or risk him going to someone else and him doing that for someone else? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It literally makes franchise, it makes or breaks franchises because of that very thing, like how polarizing the QB position is.
Them beating the Vikings did generational damage.
Yeah, if they would have lost by like 20, Daniel Jones is probably gone.
Yeah.
Insane stuff. Oh, I also think back to Ben Johnson. We got sidetracked.
I was gonna say, back to Ben Johnson.
The only other place that I think he would be willing to go is the Jaguars.
Now you kind of speak in my language, man. Especially with Brian Thomas. Brian Thomas is like the best fucking wide receiver in the draft.
Yeah, he was really fucking good. I think Ben Johnson is gonna take a. He's got a QB that he can work with. There's weapons around him, and he can make shit happen with them. Like, I think, two coaches have already failed at this. Walking into Trevor Lawrence seems like a dream scenario, you know?
Yeah. I mean?
But they haven't been able to get it right. Who can make Trevor Lawrence into that guy that's – because to me, like, Trevor Lawrence is good. Like, he is good.
Yeah.
Shit just isn't clicking between him and the head coach – or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, there's weapons like Evan Ingram, Brian Thomas Jr. They have ETN. They have Tank. Like, they have weapons. And their defense.
We still calling ETN a weapon?
I know. The name carries weight, though. And their defense has been spotty this year, but they've had some pretty good games. Like, you can work around, like, Josh Allen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have cornerstone pieces, and I think that owner's tired of losing too. So I think he'll fucking pay whatever.
Yeah,
guy he thinks will win there. So I think Bears, Jaguars, really the only two spots Ben Johnson's even going to consider.
Yeah,
Jets. I don't know. I truly, like, we should have put this as a headline. I truly don't know where the Jets go from here, because it's not like the Browns are bad, but like we know we have a coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's not going anywhere for now. The Jets are like, who wants to work for Woody Johnson and who wants to try to even work at the Jets, you know?
We strong-arm in decisions off of Madden ratings.
Yeah.
At your big age of 85, 86, we strong-arming. Brother, how do you know what Madden is?
We're strong arming
off of Madden ratings. We were fighting because someone's awareness was down on a video game.
Yeah. That's bad.
Who wants to work for that?
I mean, the two, like, what are the worst jobs in the NFL right now? Like, you got to think the two New York teams, right?
Yeah. Like, it's got to be the two New York teams.
Which is crazy. How is you have two teams in the same fucking stadium? How is one of those not decent? It's just crazy.
Because not only are you going to work for fucking whack jobs, but you also have New York media. Like, you're cloaked. Mm. And Ben Johnson just doesn't seem like a New York media kind of guy. It's tough. It's tough in that area, man. The Bears. I think the Bears and the Jags, especially the Jags, you threw a curveball in there. The Jags, I think he can literally do whatever he wants. Like, yeah. The Bears, like, I don't really know about their organization. Obviously, I know it's dog shit. But, like, there's, like, the intrigue of Caleb Williams, the weapons. I think he can make it work, especially with the specific weapons that he has. You know, the Keenan Allen. I think that he can get in his bag like he is on the Lions with the route tree. I just think you just need, you know, linemen to help you. But other than that, I mean, there's stars and studs all over the place. But with the Jags, I truly think he can do virtually whatever he wants. You have a wide receiver one in Brian Thomas. Finally, they have a wide receiver one. I mean, no disrespect to Calvin Ridley, but like this is like Brian Thomas is like bona fide. This is like he is something, bro. He is nice.
But yeah, I agree. I do think if we're talking like freedom and control, I think Ben Johnson can get the most out of the Jaguars because the Bears are still very like the team runs through the GM, the player personnel. They give Ryan Poles a lot of like leeway with who he brings to the team. If Ben Johnson doesn't want to feel like he's being pressured by like the GM or the ownership, I think the Jaguars would fit. And he'll have Trevor Lawrence to start out his coaching career. Like, you couldn't ask for a better situation, and he'll be living in Florida. Like, hell, you know what's funny is maybe the Dolphins job opens up too. I mean, we're all sitting here thinking about the obvious, right? The Jaguars, Raiders, Jets, Giants. But we got to start. Remember, there's 8 to 9 coaching jobs that open up every year in the NFL. Yeah. Like, we got to start thinking about outside the box, like the Dolphins. They're going to miss the playoffs again this year. Who else? Like, I mean, we could even be talking about like the Colts. I think they really like Steichen, but I mean, this is another down year for them when they should have been up.
And their owner's a fucking Nazi.
Yeah, the Saints job is available. I mean, there's going to be some weird teams probably that we just don't see coming. I think the Dolphins could be one of those for sure.
I mean, like I said earlier with the cat and mouse games, how many times are we going to lose to above 500 teams? Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, it's I think they're like their aura is running out. They're like, oh, we're the Dolphins, Tyreek Hill, 2K, Jalen Waddle. This offense is amazing. Like, brother, it's the, you know, that you can't beat up the bad teams all the time.
I just want to know like what happened, because night and day, I mean, a complete 180 from what their offense was last year, like explosive, dynamic, even against the good teams, they could score. Like, they're a 20 to 24 point team now. That is not what they've been since Mike McDaniel's been there. Like, Tyreek Hill is a non-factor, a majority of the game. He's and that's
decoy now.
That's fucking insane. And you know who also pisses me off about that type of thing is the Seahawks. Why is DK Metcalf?
It's JSN season, brother.
Yeah, why are we like, I get JSN's good and he should be featured, but like DK Metcalf is also 6'5", runs a 4.4. Like, the motherfucker's probably open somewhere. Why are we not looking his way?
Yeah, I'm at least, if I'm Gino, bro, I'm throwing minimum 7 go balls.
Yeah.
Because he's gonna catch 4 of them off rip.
I just don't get it. Like, there has to be like these teams that just can't find a way to get their best players the ball. I'm like, you guys don't deserve to win anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure the record reflects, the Dolphins record reflects the fact that Tyreek Hill has not had a good season. I mean, it's just fucking miserable to even watch their offense play now.
I mean, it was like Tyreek was literally on the verge of breaking the wide receiver record, and Waddle had over 1,000.
Like, yeah.
It was and A-Chain. Like, we thought A-Chain was going to be like a top 10 running back. Like, their offense was insane. The only brother not getting love was the tight end, and we was fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Now, like, Jonnu Smith's the premier receiver for them.
I don't know, bro. I don't really know what McDaniel's doing, bro. But hey, bro, that was my takeaway, man. I don't know what this brother's smoking. But like, I think if they fire him, like, they're gonna have like, and say they hire Ben Johnson, it's gonna be like, I think it's gonna be a whole revamp. Like, yo, Tua, I know, you know, you fucked with what we're doing. We ain't doing that no more, bro. We can't. I think everybody's figured it out. Yeah. It's really all just timing. So if you just jump the route, like, you know Tua's not going to throw that deep ball. You just jump the route, bro. You just knock it out of their hand. It's not that hard. I was like, it's not that hard to understand. But they had to like capture it when people didn't know what the fuck was going on. They had to like do something. And it all boils down to the unfortunate fact that, and it makes me sad, two in the Colts cooked.
Paper arm.
Chill on my boy, man. Paper mache. Speaking of things not working out, maybe. Well, hey, you know, running back in. Myles Garrett not wanting to rebuild, not wanting to keep the same regime. He wants to see some change. You know, right when, you know, like I said, happy holidays, Merry Christmas to y'all. Right when I bought my mother a Myles Garrett jersey, because my mom doesn't like jerseys, right? Because she doesn't like jerseys because the people always leave.
Yeah.
Which it's understandable as a Browns fan. I was like, Mom, this is the one guy that's not going to leave. Like, this is it. And what do I look on the news? Myles Garrett, I don't know, bro. I'm like, bro, what the fuck? But out of anybody, if anybody had the option, you know, the okay to leave, it is definitely number 95. He stayed there too long. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And, like, I agree with his comments a lot. Like, I know a lot of Browns fans are probably mad that he even said that. But,
yeah,
I mean, he's been loyal, has defended the Browns for 8 years. Like, what more can you ask? It kind of reminds me of the Joe Hayden situation. All pro corner for us for years. We didn't win anything. He was on some of the worst teams of all time. And we let him walk so he could go play for a better team. Like, and like, sometimes that's just what it is.
You know, he's good in the hood in both.
Yeah, and Joe Hayden's loved by both teams now. And he went to the Steelers.
Rivals.
Like, that's hard to do. But yeah, I think this more or less is Myles Garrett putting pressure on Andrew Berry and Haslam. Mm-hmm. Just basically saying, listen.
You think it's all Watson based?
I have two theories. One, it could be Watson, and he's saying this because he's the only guy on the team that the ownership actually listens to. Mm-hmm. There's been a few times in his career where he said something. He's not stupid. He'll say something to the media to put pressure on the ownership, so that they will make changes.
Yeah.
Because he's the only guy that can actually stand up to the owner, to the GM, because what are you going to do to Myles Garrett?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to trade your ass. I'm going to cut your ass. No, you're not. No, you're fucking not. You're not cutting. You're not trading Myles fucking Garrett. So I'm sure the team has probably had a little sprinkle of team meetings here and there. And I'm sure that Myles Garrett finally was like, fuck this. I'm tired of losing. And I shit you not, it could be a coincidence. 3 hours before he made those comments to the media, Deshaun Watson had an Instagram post that he's coming back stronger than ever in a Browns uniform. I mean, is that a coincidence? That was 3 hours. He gets done with practice. He sees his phone and he's like, oh. And then he makes those comments. You know what I mean? I mean, if you want to be a conspiracy theorists, sure, it's Deshaun Watson. I do think a lot of it is he's just tired of losing. And if they can't come up with a plan, because Watson's not the path, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's clearly not the path. They're going to have...
Hey, brother, third time's a charm.
Yeah, they're going to have to go out and get a free agent because there's no... You can't sell Myles Garrett on a rookie QB. He doesn't want to rebuild at all. So they're going to have to go out and pay $40 million for Sam Darnold. And if they can't do that, he might be gone, you know? If they say Deshaun Watson is going to be the starter, I guarantee you he's going to request a trade. But yeah. I don't think Andrew Berry's that fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Haslam has legitimately got his wife tied up somewhere. You know what I mean? Gun to the head. Like, Andrew Berry's like, no, we're playing Watson. And the only way, like, that's digging your own grave at that point. You know what I mean? And I think Barry's been a fine GM, but if he puts Deshaun on that field next year, like, we have issues.
The murder rate might go up.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. Like, fans aren't going to show up to the game. Or if they show up, they're going to be booing the home team the entire year.
Yeah. I mean, if 95 gets traded, How many 95 jerseys did we see at the game, bro?
Pretty much every jersey.
If they weren't 95, they were 24. Like these fans are hanging on by a thread, bro.
Yeah, they're lucky.
They're lucky in the fact that they even get fans. I wouldn't show up to these dumbass games.
Yeah, I like obviously I want Miles to stay, but like he's done his time. He's been on some of the shittiest teams. He's been loyal. He's always defended the Browns. I have nothing more. Like he could do no wrong in my eyes. So if he does request a trade, I get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is what it is. I know for a fact we wouldn't trade him within the AFC, though. Like, he'd be in the NFC for sure.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, this would be a premiere. Like, everybody's making calls, regardless
everybody, of who's on your team. Everybody. Every single
calls.
What do you want?
And, like, even if, say, like, this is what's funny about, like, if I was a Browns fan, right? Say we get a haul for Myles Garrett. What makes me think we're going to do something with this haul?
Exactly. And that's why, like, I see a lot of Browns fans, once the year went to shit, they're like, oh, we just need to trade all our best assets and restart from the ground up. I'm like, they're like, oh, yeah, we need to trade Myles Garrett. I'm like, okay, trade Myles Garrett. What has shown you that we can hit on anything like him ever? You know what I mean? He was the number one pick in the 2017 draft, and he was – the clear number one pick over any QB, over any O-lineman, over any other D-lineman.
Morons if he didn't draft him.
Yeah, and he's lived up to all of it. Hall of Famer already. He can retire today.
Of course,
youngest, yeah. He shout out Miles. He hit 100 sacks. Youngest guy to ever do it at his age.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I mean, there's not enough picks in the world for me to trade Myles Garrett. If he's happy at the Browns and Barry can make him happy, he's not trading him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Barry doesn't even think about that shit. I swear he goes to bed at night, someone calls for Myles Garrett. And I'm sure people call throughout the season because we're dog shit. You know what I mean? Oh, you want like 3 first-round picks? And he just hangs up the phone. The only way Myles gets traded is if he asks to be traded. That's it. And I know Barry over the years, he's been very good to players that have played for him. So if he does ask for a trade, he's not going to say no. Scary thought.
So you think, say, like, if y'all walk out, you think you guys are going to walk out with Watson again?
I don't think so. Like, I don't. The general public does.
You think you're going to get someone in free agency or draft someone?
Yeah, I think we're going to get someone in free agency.
Okay.
I think we're going to go, like...
And put, like, pressure on Deshaun?
Absolutely. Like, Barry's already said it. He didn't say Deshaun is going to start. He said Deshaun will have a chance to compete for the starting job. What does that mean? Let's read between the lines, people. No GM is telling you flat out what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That is him saying he ain't winning that job. He's cooked. And like, what was... Okay, so let's think about... Before I go on a fucking rant, let me keep this quick. Let's think about what Deshaun has been good at since he's been back, right? Not much. But the one thing keeping him afloat in most games was his legs. And now with a blown Achilles, what is he gonna be good at? Because he's not gonna have the same explosiveness. He's not gonna be able to break tackles like he used to. Because that's been the one good part about him, is he can shed any fucking tackle. But now, like, he's not running away from anybody, and it's a year-long process. Even if he does come back, he won't be ready till week 4 or 5.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it with Kirk.
Yeah, so like, I don't know why everyone's so up in arms. You know, the fucking Pro Football Network and Florio is making these dumbass fucking articles. Browns GM and Kevin Stefanski say Deshaun Watson will be the starter next year. He'll be back with the team. He has to be back with the team, or we're gonna get like a fucking $200 million cap hit.
That's what like fans didn't understand with like, damn, we benched Jameis Winston for this and was showing DTR stats. I think Barry was just like, I just want to make sure we're cooked on all three phases.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We're cooked on Deshaun, we're cooked on Jameis, and we're cooked on DTR. I just want to make sure that I know we need to revamp all of this. There isn't a shadow and a doubt that I need 3 new QBs.
Sometimes the best route to go is try every possible scenario so no one has questions.
That's how down bad the Browns
are. Yeah, because like when you play, because DTR really hasn't had a fair shot, but if he plays these last few games and looks like shit, which he did last week, if we had any competent QB play, we'd probably win that game. Fucking three turnovers in the red zone. But now no one is sitting there. No fan is sitting there like, oh, yeah, I want Jameis to start next year. Oh, yeah, I want DTR to get a chance next year. You know what I mean? Mm. Watson's cooked. No, we have to make a QB change. Free agency, rookie, it has to be somebody. There's no doubt in my mind.
This shit's going to be – that's. I can't wait for the offseason talk, bro. This shit is going to be so fun. I don't know what the fuck y'all motherfuckers are going to do, bro.
It'll actually be one of the craziest – to me, it'll be one of the craziest off-seasons I've ever witnessed in the Browns' history, because we do have cornerstone pieces to be decent next year if we hit on a QB. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's just it. We're sitting here with a few Hall of Fame players, a few All-Pro players, some off-and-on Pro Bowlers, and we just don't have a QB. Like, that's all it fucking is. So, Barry – his first time ever drafting a QB in the top three, if that actually happens, and he hits on it, no one's going to say shit. You know what I mean? It's going to be like everything's forgotten. But if he goes and gets Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold's terrible, like, imagine. He's done.
Yeah, so he's fired.
He's done. So, I mean, this is the biggest offseason in Andrew Berry's career.
I'd be tweaking. You're either a savior or a terrorist. There's no in between.
And that's for everybody, every GM, every coach. You're either the worst thing that ever happened or you're the best thing.
Man.
Fun stuff.
It's fun stuff. Speaking of GM decisions being made, picking Michael Penix. It was a Penix party up in Atlanta. They did their thing. Michael Penix had an impressive debut. Couldn't throw, you know, get in the end zone multiple times. Almost did, but, you know, Kyle Pitts gave it to the defense. I don't know if our brother's cooked. Our brother in Christ might be cooked.
I think those injuries really fucked him up.
I don't know, bro. I literally drafted him in fantasy. I've been hanging on by, you know, by a thread. I think this brother's done, man. But you can see, like, outside of the – like game, like I rewatch like the all 22 that comes out for all his passing plays, and because I like Michael Penix, I'm very interested in what this brother has to offer for the Falcons.
Good coming out of his head.
Bro, when I seen that man throw that ball, it's night and day. Other than like Kirk, like he like the zip he has on that ball is insane, insane.
Come on, Timber.
Shout out the dog. Shout out DWC mascot. Timbo, yeah. Big Timbo.
Yeah, I think the most impressive thing to me about Penix's debut is the composure. Like,
yeah,
you don't see that type of thing from most rookie QBs, but this draft class in general, the composure of the top guys have been insane. I know that was Penix's just first game, but like Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Drake May, like all of them have had so much composure for being rookies this year.
Yeah.
Penix looks unbothered. Like he looks even different than like Jaden and like all the best rookies. Cause he just is chilling.
Yeah.
And when it comes out of his hand, you're just like, holy fuck. Like that's a good looking ball. And he's a lefty. So it already looks cool.
This brother was in public saying he was going to have 303 TDs, bro. Who be saying that? He's hilarious. I think he's going to be great for Atlanta, especially with those weapons. He can. This is the kind of shit that makes players want to play for the team. I know that sounds crazy. You would think everybody wants to play, you know, and get paid or whatnot. But like, when your team's ass, it really brings down your morale and makes you not play up to your potential. But we saw the defense fucking flying around.
Yeah.
Like against the, like, of course we all thought they were going to beat the Giants, but like they swooped that ass. The BTA, it was belt to ass. And Penix, you know, strong arm that. It's nice to be able to be like, on the defense. I know your defense hasn't felt this in a long time. It's nice to be on the defense and be able to chill. I ain't got to like, oh, you know, we're back up three and out. I can't even sit on the bench. Yeah, don't even let me sit on the bench because it's going to be a three and out or my dude's going to throw a fucking pick. It's nice to be able to chill and watch that boy work. And be like, hey, we scored. Let's get on defense. Let's get him back the ball because we're going to start whooping ass. I think this should have been done a lot. Like when Kirk was having them games, no TDs, interceptions galore, I think it should have been a little bit earlier. But, I'm here. We at DWC are pro QB city, pro rookie QB city. Mm-hmm. It is, unless you're behind like just the worst guy in, you know, out of all time, Joe Flacco, but like you sitting really helps. Really, I mean, we see it with Penix, we see it with Bryce Young. Like it is just amazing for the QBs that really need it. Unless you're like I think Drake May's gonna be fine, right? But like the QBs that needed to sit, I'm glad they're taking this time and actually like saying, yo, we don't want to be a team that, you know, is revolving three QBs, you know, every 7 years. Like, yeah. We want to be able to develop and build a strong relationship with these QBs. So, shout out to the Falcons for doing this. Michael Penix, you know, it might be a little too early, but he's looking like a stud.
Yeah, he looks like a beast so far. I hope he continues. It is kind of crazy they put him in this late, though, because two games and then, like, they're the four seed right now because they've beaten the Bucks twice. And if they went out and the Bucks went out, they're in and the Bucks are out. So throwing him in this position is crazy. Pressure makes diamonds.
Yeah. I mean, either or, it's just like the Texans. They get in that butt whoop. It don't matter who it is. It's going to be the Lions or the Vikings. And in hot take, I'd rather play the fucking Lions. I'm not going to hold you.
With the injuries, maybe.
With the injuries. But, like, either team is going to beat that ass. They're going to put BTA. It's either a lineman's going to, you know, catch a touchdown or Jettis is going to gritty. Like, it's going to be BTA regardless. But Falcons, you might have your QB of the future. Just keep him healthy. Just don't let this brother, like, we can't let this brother go down. Just keep him healthy. Keep him upright. I promise you he'll be great. Big fan. Big penis party fan.
Crazy.
And the jerseys, think about the memes of jersey. Like, this is going to be perfect for Atlanta. The revenue. Love to see it. Let's go ahead and get into our bets and picks. Man, the locks of the week. Last week, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, the Vikings pushed, and then the Bucks got...
The Bucks got BTA. That shit was ass. I felt bad for all the people that bet money with us. I called FanDuel. Someone hacked into my account and made that bet. Taking that shit up out of here. So for our locks of the week, we have Panthers +7.5 and Dolphins -6.5. Bucks just got handed an ass whooping by the Cowboys, who have been fucking on the rise at the worst time. Because what are we doing? Do we not want a good draft pick? Whatever. Hey, it's, you know, it is what it is. And the Panthers have also been on the rise. Just came off that fucking fantastic win. The Bucks can kind of just like quit. So, you know, the Panthers, we think the Panthers can hang in there. And the Dolphins. You know what I say against, you know, the Dolphins against dog shit teams. They might fucking put up, you know, win by 14 plus, you know, even with the Dolphins bad, you know, defense, DTR is worse. So I think you got to be blind if you can't get a pick off from this brother. I'm not going to lie. He's
ass. Disrespectful.
He's ass. I think the Browns are just trying to get a better draft spot. So. Dolphins still in the hunt. Weirdly, still in the hunt. They need a lot of things to happen, but still in the hunt. So we believe that they're gonna, you know, try to make it easier for the people to get behind them being in the playoffs. And I think they're gonna put BTA up to the Browns, who I really just think don't give a fuck anymore, bro. They're just chilling, waiting for the offseason. And our dog of the week, we were just talking about him, Mr. Penix himself. We have the Falcons as our dog of the week. I know dog of the weeks have been getting burned. I know, while we ride him with the hot hand. Look, man, some of these games are hard to fucking pick. A lot of these games are ass. It's good versus ass for a lot of these games. So
we burned didn't have is an understatement.
We didn't have a lot to really choose from. And I think this is our best option right here for, dog of the week with some good odds here. We can make some real good money here. So we got the Falcons as our dog of the week. We're going to go ahead and get into the picks for today's game, the Christmas game. Got the Steelers or the Chiefs at the Steelers. I picked the Steelers. And Reed picked the Chiefs. I think I've only not picked the Steelers one time. I didn't do that last year, but hey, this year it got me moving different, man. The Ravens at the Texans. Both picked the Ravens. I really believe it's going to be BTA. Take that -5.5. The Texans are dog shit.
Yeah, I like even teasing that lineup, to be honest with you. Get disrespectful up here. 9.5.
The Thursday game, the Seahawks at the Bears. We both picked the Seahawks. Y'all know I'm done picking the Bears, never picking them again. I'm surprised you picked the Seahawks. You're a Seahawks hater.
Are you just Geno is so up and down. Yeah, but I'm not picking the Bears either. Like that's a mistake waiting to happen.
Yeah, Geno's been – like he was inconsistent last year, but he's like inconsistent this year. Like it is just night and day. I don't know which one wants to fucking show up. Maybe we just overhyped Geno.
That's my bad. He's above average starter, I would say, but like he is an average starter in the NFL. It would take a lot for someone to take his job, but he's not gonna win you a Super Bowl.
No, hell no.
He's like Baker.
Don't get the Baker fans started, man.
I'm gonna get that text from
from Deuce.
Yeah, from Deuce.
Leave him alone, man. For the Chargers at the Patriots, we both picked the Chargers. For the Broncos at the Bengals, both going Bengals. For the Cardinals, close game. But I truly think this could be an option where the Bengals fucking sneak into the playoffs, man.
They have such – I don't know. I just don't see it.
Media wants them, man. I mean, if the Steelers beat the Chiefs have to play their people. And if they beat the Broncos and the Bengals win, I mean, they have to play our starters because we need the division. But, like
– well, that's just it. Like, if the Bengals win and the Chargers win, I mean, what's the point of the Broncos starting their players because they're going to be in that 7th seed anyway. You know what I mean? So it could very well be like the Broncos don't give a fuck either. Wait, no, they'd have to win. Never mind. Because of the Bengals. I forgot. They have to win that last game if they lose this one.
I'm saying it can they could get in, man.
That shit ain't happening.
For the Cardinals at the Rams, you both picked the Rams. I think Reed has solidified himself. Finally, he's on my side. I think Reed is done picking the Cardinals.
Man, they're just like I said all year, though, they've been one of the hardest teams to pick. You don't know what Cardinals team is showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler Murray has been so up and down. Like, I'm thinking about playing Bo Nix over Murray this weekend.
Kyler has been up and down, more down. Kyler has been up and down, but you know, you're a fantasy owner of Kyler. I know you're. I mean, when he ran that touchdown, and you're just like, thank God. Because you know he wasn't getting points any other way. I don't know what's going on with that, brother. But, hey, man, it is what it is. The Jets at the Bills. We taking the Bills and -9.5. I think we're downplaying that. That shit might need to be 15, man.
That's crazy.
For the Raiders at the Saints, I picked the Saints and Reed picked the Raiders. I don't know why he's picking the Raiders.
pick your fucking poison. Both teams are ass. Yeah, the Raiders.
The Raiders want that number. They want perfect timing, bro. They're gonna throw. For the Colts at the Giants, pick the Colts. I'm laughing because when's the last time we've ever seen the Colts this high of a favorite? When Peyton Manning was playing?
Yeah.
Like, when is that? I've never seen this high of a Colts. The Giants are so fucking bad, bro.
-500 is crazy.
Cowboys at the Eagles. We both picked the Eagles. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. This is the last thing before we just – I'm going to rip through it after this. The Colts are close with the Eagles in terms of being a favorite.
Yeah.
That's how nasty the Giants are, bro. For the Panthers at the Bucks, both picked the Bucks. For the Jaguars – or the Titans at the Jaguars, I picked the Jags. We picked the Titans. For the Dolphins at the Browns, both picked the Dolphins. Kills me. You just done picked the Browns. For the Packers at the Vikings, I picked the Vikings and Reed picked the Packers. It's always our besides our AFC North rivalry, we have such an NFC North rivalry. Like, you die hard for the Packers, I'm like anybody but the Packers. Like the Vikings or the Lions. For the Falcons at the Commanders, you already know this is our underdog pick. We're picking the Falcons. And for the Lions at the 49ers, we're both picking the Lions. And that is our picks. I'm going to go ahead and throw back our locks. Locks are Panthers +7.5 and Dolphins -6.5. And our dog of the week is the Falcons, y'all. We got one more week of the regular season. It'll be episode 18, and then we're going to go into the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting, you know, what's going to happen, how this is going to shape out. Nothing is settled yet. You know, we have our ideas of teams that we think are going to be in, but even the order isn't set yet. That's how crazy NFL has been this week.
We're still
and going. We have been super excited to be able to talk about this. And we can't wait to talk to you guys next week and finally get a little bit of closure and see where the season is going to be. But make sure you guys listen to us, watch us on YouTube at Defense Wins Championship Podcast, as well and on Apple and Spotify under the same name. These will be posted out today on Twitter and Instagram at DWC 2022 and on Defense Wins Championship Podcast on Instagram. Make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, all that jazz. And we will see you guys into the next week for the final episode of the regular season, and then we're going to get right into the playoffs, y'all. So thanks again, everybody listening and watching and following us on everything. Like, comment, subscribe, all that jazz, and we'll see you in the next one. Peace.